Wisconsin Eye is at undisclosed state of Illinois location, talking to three Democratic state senators. Thank you, Senator Lena Tandel of Milwaukee.
Thank you.
Senator Tim Cullen of Janesville. Thank you, Senator Spencer Cox of also of Milwaukee. Tell us about life on the lam, senators. I mean, you've been gone 5 days, and how many different beds have you slept in? A different bed every night, and who's raising your son is Josiah, he's 8, and tell us about life outside the Capitol.
Isaiah. No, that's okay, he's 11, and my parents and his dad are taking good care of him, but I've got pictures to prove he was loving on me yesterday and the day before, so I enjoyed those moments, and he's off to school doing what he needs to do.
Have either of you snuck back to Wisconsin over the recent days? Or?
No, I was able to have my wife come on Sunday and bring me some fresh clothes and clean underwear. So I feel fortified again. But, you know, that's what has been happening. We've been, you know, washing our underwear in sinks. We haven't been, it's been not been a different place each night, but we have slept in different places. And there's some of us in some places, some other places. So, yeah, we're kind of scattered across Illinois, and it's an adventure, but it's worth it because we're standing for a principle.
The now, why is it that you guys move around so often? Because once you're outside the state of Wisconsin, you're not subject to any, you're not subject to the call, and troopers can't take you back to the Capitol. So why is there so much secret about your?
I think there's a concern that we heard last week that groups that are adamantly opposed to our actions and adamantly in favor of the bill would love to find our location, disrupt our lives for staying at a facility to disrupt the people trying to run a business. And so we thought it was just a lot better to not be found. But we're certainly not hiding from you folks, the media. And in fact, you ask about our life down here. My days down here are not a whole lot different than if I were working in Wisconsin, other than being in session. I understand that piece of it. But right. I mean, I'm talking to my office several times a day. I'm finding out who's calling, calling selected people back. I'm talking to the media. I'm checking on what emails are. Talking to, in my case, I'm reaching out to Republicans that I know who are in government and out of government to just talk about, you know, are there some ways to try to resolve this and see if we can move forward. So those are all things I'd be doing if I were in Janesville. If I didn't happen to go to Madison for a session day, right. I'm just doing them from here.
Exactly.
As Spencer talked about it a little bit, the Senate is technically in session right now. So your hearts are there, but why don't you again tell me why you're all in Northern Illinois?
As a matter of fact, they're in session right now. As we speak, I was just talking to my staff, and what Senator Cullen said is very true. It's really my days are no different. Actually, in some ways, I almost feel like they're a little busier because the amount of emails and the amount of Twittering and Facebook and trying to be responsive to individuals, all of that is a tremendous amount of stuff. And the reason that we're here is because we needed to slow this bill down long enough so that individuals had an opportunity to know what was in it and so that Wisconsinites had an opportunity to be able to be heard. I'm certain that you're aware that they tried to deny people and did deny people the ability to sign up to be heard during finance, and they cut it off. Frankly, they didn't say at the beginning of the hearing that there was going to be a time that they cut it off. And then we continued the hearings. The hearings are still going, listening sessions for individuals, and then what they did on the assembly floor. So it's extremely clear, you know, that they've done several things that prevent Wisconsinites from being heard. So it was necessary for us to stand on the Constitution and stand on the use of three-fifths, a quorum, for a quorum in order for us to do this. And so this is important. But you asked another question earlier about whether or not anyone's gone back to Wisconsin. I went and got some clothes and my son and got stuck in the snow, and some people helped us and said go south and went back, and all has been well.
You guys are in your sixth day of being outside the state of Wisconsin.
Only six days?
Only six days?
Seems a lot longer.
Seems a lot longer. Lena, Senator Taylor, you just said that one of the reasons to do that was to focus attention and literally thousands of protesters on the bill. So haven't you already had a victory there in that so much attention has been focused on the bill?
Well, it's kind of a victory so far in that, you know, when we were there at the Capitol, they wouldn't acknowledge our presence. And it's amazing to see, because they weren't acknowledging our presence, we left. Now they had to acknowledge our absence. And it also gave the opportunity, the time, for Wisconsinites from all over the state to come to the Capitol. And they came in droves, first in, you know, thousands, then 10,000, then over the weekend, 100,000 people at one time at the Capitol. So it gave people an opportunity to see just how bad a budget repair bill this was. And remember, there are two issues. There are the fiscal issues. And the labor leaders have last week Friday said, we will accept the fiscal issues. So let's go ahead and pass that bill. But the governor still wants to decimate, bust the unions by hurting workers' rights through collective bargaining. And that's something we just can't back off of. And so we want to see the workers of the state of Wisconsin, working families, get a fair hearing, get a chance to negotiate for their working conditions and also their hours. Working conditions connote the safety of the workplace, and the hours connote the worker's safety, but also the public safety. If you have nurses or elder care workers who are working too long hours, that harms the general public. And so we want to make sure that they have their fair opportunity to negotiate. And Wisconsin is really known for that kind of fair negotiation. And Governor Walker right now wants to negate all that, wants to take it all away.
Now Governor Walker is saying he told reporters yesterday, and his office today has issued a statement, we're looking at 1,500 layoffs of state workers beginning April 1. So which is the lesser of two evils?
Well, that would be his call and his mistake and his fault. This is a budget repair bill to fix the budget between now and June 30th. It's not a bill about the $3 billion deficit of the next biennium. Mm-hmm. There are two financial items in this bill that need to become law, and that will fix the problem. One is he's refinancing the debt. He's actually adding to it. He's going to borrow money. It's not a restructuring. It's not getting rid of higher bonds to borrow at lower rates. It's more bonding. That's $165 million. And then he gets $28 million more out of state employees paying more for pensions and health insurance, which they have agreed to do. Mm-hmm. So those two pieces fix the budget repair bill. So we look and say, there's the compromise. You get what you need. You get them giving what you want them to give. And we balance the budget as of June 30th with those two items, which are probably eight pages of the 144-page bill. So he started being exposed now that he has what that's what he campaigned on, was those two items. Yeah. He didn't campaign that he was going to destroy public employee unions and the right of citizens to bargain collectively and form a union and have their workers' rights. He didn't campaign on that. He says you weren't listening, but he didn't campaign on that. He campaigned on the money. He has the money. So it is clear now that his goal is to destroy public employee unions at the state and local level. And that clear distinction would not have ever come to light if we hadn't come to Illinois. That has become clear since we've come here. Since we've come here, the unions have given on the financial matters, and it is now clear that isn't all he really wanted. That isn't enough. He wants to destroy their effectiveness. We're reaching out as individuals. A lot of us are trying to talk to Republicans about how to find a compromise. Mm-hmm. I talked to the Senate Majority Leader, Senator Fitzgerald, yesterday about these matters. Their caucus is a group of individuals who I don't think, given their, if they had their freedom, they have a variety of views in there. But up until now, they've not been willing to break with the governor. I've talked to other Republicans. The governor called me Saturday morning. I talked to him for probably 45 minutes. It was a very pleasant, civil talk. We didn't get to any resolution. I'm not able to make an agreement by myself anyway. But at least I got a sense of his you know, his feelings on this stuff. So we are trying to work this thing out. We aren't going to stay here forever. I'm not going to be here in June. But we think that, our coming here has served a purpose, and it continues to serve a purpose. And it is sort of a day-to-day thing. Even though we're in different parts of Illinois, we have a conference call. A lot of us are in the same place. Others are scattered about. We're on the call at 7 o'clock every night usually, where we talk about the day and where we're at and what we should be thinking about for the next day. And so we're very much united. There's all 14 of us are united in this, and we'll you know, the voter ID bill is another issue. I get a sense the Republicans have some real reluctance in their caucus to bring that bill up when we're not there. That's going a little
well,
far.
I was going to ask you about
it's
that.
Overreaching. I mean, everything that's been happening since they've taken power has been a reflection of overreaching and rubber stamping what the governor has wanted. And in this bill, the governor is overreached. I mean, the reality is, let me back up and say, before his budget repair bill, the unions actually conceded. The teachers union did. Mary Bell went on and conceded that they would deal with the benefits issue, both health care as well as the pension piece. Mm-hmm. And I'm not going to even disagree with the fact that there needs to be more concessions, right, that needed to be done. So the unions are there. They've conceded. You also won, Governor.
WEAC also wants to break up NPS, which is another issue in and of itself.
Well, I don't agree
with that
completely. But I do believe that, you know, reform is needed. But that's a discussion I'd love to have at another time. But one other piece I want to say, us being away and slowing this down and bringing this bill to light has also brought in things that even the Republicans saw that they needed to change. And they did some of those things, one of those things at least, during finance, which was the LTE piece,
right,
saying that LTEs would not be able to have health insurance. And we had individuals come and testify in that regard. But the other piece that really needs some inquiry and that I really look forward to people looking into thoroughly is the fact that the governor's fourth largest contributor were the Koch brothers. The Koch brothers did the advertisement that came out saying that state workers have not contributed, even though they did do furloughs, so that wasn't true. But those ads came out before we even had the bill, before we even had a chance to read the bill, know the bill. So how did the Koch brothers know? They're not from Wisconsin. And they did these ads. They paid for these ads. And the part that I find even more disgusting is in that 144-page bill that has a third of it not being fiscal items, that's basically policy, one of the items that stands out like a sore thumb is the no-bid contract for energy plants. It's my understanding that that's something that's in interest of the Koch brothers. So you're going to give your special interest friends a contract? Is that what that's about? I don't know. But what I do know is that when it's in a budget repair bill that doesn't even meet the statutory requirements, according to Fiscal Bureau, for a budget amendment, I mean, the governor can do it, they're doing it, but it doesn't meet the requirements that we normally follow, right, for a budget repair bill. That's a little bit concerning. And it's even more concerning when you want to rush something that changes, as Senator Cox said, 50 to 100 years of history in our state that helped lead our nation for work conditions and worker safety and worker rights. You want to end that in less than 5 days? It would have been 3 days? That's really not right.
So if the bill is not changed, are you going to stay in Illinois?
It's our intention to. As my colleagues have just said, that what you had is a budget, supposedly a budget repair bill to fix a problem. The problem is fixed. We can go home at any time, as long as the governor calls us and he says that the people of the state of Wisconsin, the working families, can have their workers' rights. That's not what he's doing. This seems to be almost a ruse to decimate and bust unions and hurt working families in the state of Wisconsin. Tonight he's going to go on TV and he's going to try to sweet talk people into believing that the concessions have not been made. I want to say for the record, my colleagues will agree, the concessions have been made, okay? We just want to make sure that workers have their workers' rights. That's only fair. We're just asking for fairness, and we're asking for the governor to do what politicians do, and that is compromise, okay? But the governor is just saying, he's drawn a line in the sand, and he's saying, no way, okay? And this is not about the upcoming budget. This is about the budget repair. And so he can't have it both ways. And once again, our absence is speaking volumes about what they're doing up at Madison. And what we've been hoping was going to happen was that Republican senators would get some gumption, okay, and negotiate with us, talk to us, not hide behind the governor. We want them to do what they're supposed to do, too. We're here working, you know, we don't have the same benefits. We don't have our staff with us. We don't have computers all around us and things like that. They have all of that. They're not doing their job. And their job is to pass bills and cooperate and compromise with us as legislators.
Let me say one other thing. There are three branches of government, and it's the legislative branch responsibility to go with what Senator Coggs is saying, to hold the other branches, in particular, to help hold the executive branch accountable. And I think it's not acceptable when you just rubber stamp whatever the governor is doing, when you know that he overreaches and you don't do anything to address the issues that you see. When more than 250,000 people and counting, and I haven't counted in the last few days, you know, come to the Capitol and say that they don't agree with the bill, that's a problem. And to deny them the ability to be heard, I'm just asking the governor to do what he said he wanted. In December, he made a big tizzy about he wanted to negotiate the contracts. Now you have the opportunity to negotiate the contracts, thanks to two of our former colleagues. And you don't want to negotiate. You don't want to come to the table. Meet him at the bargaining table.
Well, I want to ask you about something that Senator Fitzgerald said this morning on TMJ Radio. He called the 14 Dems coming to Illinois a dangerous precedent, saying, what's the next issue that you guys flee the state on? Is it going to be the budget in 4 months because you don't like the budget that Governor Walker rolls out and makes its way through finance? And then if it's up before the Senate?
This was an extraordinary action we took. Exactly. It was the only thing we could do, the only step we had available to slow that bill down. We've talked a lot about union concessions and workers' rights here. Also, by leaving, we gave the citizens of Wisconsin to learn about some other things in the bill. There's another huge matter in the bill. The power plant issue that Senator Taylor talked about is hugely important. We're going to sell 37 power plants without seeking bids. Just whatever the DOA secretary thinks is a good price, that's what the bill says. Yep. He can accept $1 a year lease, fine. He can do that under this bill. But the loss of legislative input on the Medicaid program is a huge part of this bill. It's nothing to do with unions and benefits. This bill says that the governor and his cabinet secretaries shall have the sole authority, without legislative input and oversight, the sole authority to determine a revised Medicaid benefit levels, Medicaid eligibility levels. They can raise the income levels of eligibility. They can say that certain services that are now covered by Medicaid will no longer be covered by Medicaid, and the legislature, with this bill, will have no say in those, which is entirely different than the current situation. You couldn't do that without legislation or at least Joint Finance Committee action. So it's a huge part of this bill. Hasn't got much attention because of the impact on what the demonstrators are correctly concerned about. But longer we're here, the more people will learn about that.
Right.
But
just on that subject, last night, the governor said on MA, if there is no budget fix-up bill, we're going to run out of federal funds at the end of April, which is going to deny those providers some of their reimbursements. And wouldn't that hit
wouldn't that hit
the county of Milwaukee
hardest? Governor, you're right, Governor. But the bill has two items in it that fix it and don't cause that problem at the end of April. $165 million of bonding and $28 million just in this five-month period in additional pension and health insurance payments. So
the policy issues, though, that we are talking about that exclude the legislature, that hurt underinsured and uninsured people in the state of Wisconsin potentially, because if we're cut out of the process, who is going to make sure that Milwaukee County is counted, okay? Senator Taylor is on Joint Finance Committee. I'm on several committees that deal with these kinds of things, and I come from a health background. It shouldn't be just the governor and the department head that makes these decisions. This is a legislative matter, and the only way that we could, you know, stop this fast-track bill that was going to be passed in less than a week, and it speaks volumes to where this administration is coming from, we had to leave. We had to.
And I need to address the issue of the precedent also. You know, this is of historic, I think, nature in that the workers' rights that the governor included in this, and frankly tried to suggest that they weren't being taken away. It was the Journal Sentinel that did a piece on the collective bargaining piece to say it wasn't true when he said that collective bargaining rights would still be in place. So the governor's not been honest. He's frankly lied to the people of Wisconsin and denied their ability to be heard and tried to, you know, ram this down their throat. And they've thrown up. They've thrown up and said no. They've thrown up their hands and they've said no, that this is not acceptable, more than and counting a quarter of a million. And I know that he'll say, well, no, now it won't just be me and my cabinet members. It'll go to finance. But individuals need to look closely. Finance only requires that it, according to Fiscal Bureau, that it be approved by the co-chairs. Now, our precedent is that individuals sitting on the finance committee can object, and mm-hmm. then the co-chairs will, you know, go with that objection. However, let's be clear, they make up the majority of the committee, and if they're rubber stamping him now, they're only going to rubber stamp him if we object later. But more importantly, that's only 16 members. There's 132 members. There are individuals across this state that are affected, and it shouldn't just be 16 members that get an opportunity to address the issues that are at hand. They're too great of issues. Mm-hmm. So this isn't every time we don't like something we're going to, you know, go away. This is, we had to use this because of the number of huge issues, no big contracts, MA with the governor being able to dictate what happens with that with no legislative authority, you know, the fact that it's not a real budget bill, you know, all of these things together were the kind of things that made us say we can't do
it. And this is so important that you three are willing to miss a Thursday vote on photo ID if the Senate brings that up and passes it only with...
We don't know they're going to do that, and if they are going to do that, we'll have a 7 o'clock meeting to discuss it. But I think they'd be ill-advised to take up that bill of that under the guise that there's voter fraud in Wisconsin, which is minuscule at best. It is a voter suppression bill, and I think I still think there are enough Republican state senators who realize that that would not be a wise move. That bill will suppress the vote of college students, of people in nursing homes, senior citizens, mm-hmm. anybody who's changed their last name since they voted last, may have gone through a divorce, anybody who's a renter who has a different address than they had the last time they voted. And they're trying to pass it on the guise that it doesn't have a fiscal effect. That you can call any county clerk in the state. That's going to have a huge fiscal effect. They got to print the ID cards. They got to give them away. They got to educate poll workers mm-hmm. all across Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. They say they're going to send people to nursing homes to educate people at nursing homes. All that costs money. Mm-hmm. That bill has a huge fiscal effect, and it's in some ways it goes to the core of our democracy, even more than this bill that we're out here on now, to suppress the votes of people who by the way Republicans feel these groups whose votes will be suppressed have tended in the past to vote more Democratic than Republican. So you start to see a pattern here. You know, you take away the rights to vote of people who might vote against them. Then you try to pass a bill which destroys public employee unions, which, oh, by the way, happen to not support very many Republicans. They're using the law to create a one-party state, mm-hmm. which I don't think the people of Wisconsin are the least bit interested in, and that's not what they signed up for when they voted for Governor Walker.
Okay, just to tie
on the voter ID bill, if I can. On the voter ID bill, the bill that they've done doesn't even address the issue of the fraud that we've had in Wisconsin. The fraud that we've had in Wisconsin has been individuals who have had felonies who maybe have then voted. Well, personally, why don't we do a better job at the community corrections level of making sure individuals who are on probation or parole understand how that system works, what their rights are, when they are able to activate. They don't have anything in the bill that addresses that. This is just about voter suppression. That's the only thing that it's about. And frankly, I think there's a lot of Wisconsin Eye video that's archived that mm-hmm. tells how I feel about this. Before Wisconsin Eye even came, I've been arguing mm-hmm. on this bill.
It's been a priority.
Last point on voter ID, because it's really important. In order for this to come up on Thursday, they would have to amend the bill, and they would strip out all the fiscal impact. Mm-hmm. And that would be going against what they always said they were going to do, and that would be pay for IDs for people who couldn't afford it. Okay, so now they're willing to go back on their own principles to suppress people's voting rights. That is appalling.
Have you been threatened? Have you received threats to your offices for coming to Illinois?
I received some rather unpleasant phone calls, but none of which I would characterize as a threat.
Okay.
Senator? Very happy.
If they have, in my case, my staff is keeping them away from me. But they have been some pretty harsh racially motivated calls as well. And so I've been checking with my home. My home is safe at this particular time.
Have you received?
I've not received threats. I think the same. My staff has kept them away from me. If I have, I have received some, been called the C word, and I've been called a lot of things that, and the N word, and a lot of things that I'd rather not discuss. But the thing that I think I like the most is, in all the snow, someone shoveled my snow. Individuals have been sending all kinds of things saying, what can I do to help? You know, do you need a babysitter? Does somebody need to pick up Isaiah? I mean, just the outpouring has been just phenomenal.
Well, that's a great point, because all of us have gotten emails, and we've gotten some nasty ones, okay? But for every one nasty email, we've gotten at least 20 great ones, okay? And we're getting, you know, I'm getting people who want to, you know, and my snow was shoveled too, so I'm very, very grateful. Who want to watch, you know, tell me that, call me and say, I'm watching out for your home and that kind of thing. So the outpouring of Wisconsinites, you know, and we thought this was going to be controversial, but we have got the public on our side, and we will continue to do the public's work.
Well, just a loose end question as we wind down here. Jay Heck of Common Cause says, now you're not collecting per diems because you're outside the state, correct?
Mm-hmm.
You're down here paying your own expenses.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So are you going to use campaign funds to reimburse? I mean, so taxpayers will not be reimbursing your travel costs.
Taxpayers will not pay one dime.
Yeah.
It is true that campaign funds are legitimate. Some senators will do that. Others won't.
Mm-hmm.
I'm able to not have to do that. I'm paying entirely out of my own pocket. There have been groups who have offered to help us out, and we've said thanks, but no thanks. We appreciate the interest, but it would just cloud the waters to have anybody helping us pay our costs. So nothing. In fact, as far as I'm concerned, whatever, I think we are entitled to our salaries. Because we're working every day, for one thing.
Mm-hmm.
But I've decided that whatever day I miss of a session day, I'm going to donate my salary from that day to the local food pantry in Janesville. It's called ECHO. Everyone Cooperating to Help Others is an acronym. That's what we're doing here. That's very good, Senator
Taylor.
And
you know what? And it's echoing all the way around the world. I'm so excited to talk about the particular poster that a gentleman with a whole bunch of individuals behind him in Egypt put a sign up that said, Egypt supports Wisconsin's workers.
Yeah. Well, final question. You'll be back to the Capitol when? Senator Taylor, you want to go first?
When the governor decides, you let us know.
Senator Cohen?
I think... We meet every night at 7 o'clock. We will decide when we go back, and it'll be based on the circumstances at the time we decide. We're not committing to any day or any week. But what we are trying to do while we're down here is exhaust every possibility of getting the governor's attention and accepting the compromises there. We intend possibly to reach out to the Senate Republicans before the week's over. After all, they are members of the legislature, a co-equal branch.
Mm-hmm.
And last week or 2 weeks ago now, they gave the governor total authority over administrative rules, which I realize most listeners' eyes glaze over when you start talking about administrative rules.
My eyes glaze over, but
it's important. But the legislature lost input in administrative rules. The Republican majority gave it to the governor. In this bill, it will give the governor total control over the Medicaid program, eliminate legislative input. At some point, there are some... responsible, I think, Republican state senators there who have to think, you know, that you know, this is supposed to be three co-equal branches, and they're week by week, fast at a pace unprecedented, giving away legislative authority. So the people who voted for us are going to be calling us up and saying, you know, Senator Cohen, what are you going to do about those Medicaid things? I'll say, well, unfortunately, the law passed, and I have nothing to do with it. Well, what about that administrative rule? Unfortunately, they passed the law. I have nothing to do with it. And that's going to get to be a broken record that I think the public is not going to appreciate. And we're trying to slow this thing down.
And then finally, Senator Cox, you'll be back when?
Well, the people want us to really exercise our legitimate legislative power. So when will we be back in? When we bring a victory to the people.
Senators, thanks very much for your time. I appreciate the interview at a place that we can't talk about. So I'm going to send you off to places that you can't talk about either. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.